Yesterday, we celebrated the 244th birthday of the United States of America. 244 years, it's getting a little old. Yes, and Matthew's birthday too. Amen, amen. But this is a difficult time. And I have to be honest with you, I have had such a burden in my heart for this country, as a lot of you have. America is at a crossroads. And that is the title of the message today, America at a Crossroads. The scripture I want you to look at this morning is Proverbs 14:34, a well-known scripture, Proverbs 14:34. The Bible clearly says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people or a disgrace. Let's say it again. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The Amplified Bible says it this way. It says, righteousness or moral and spiritual integrity and virtuous character exalts a nation. Righteousness, which is moral and spiritual integrity, exalts a nation. You know, if you look at the history of America, you have to say something special about America. And I know there are a lot of people who don't like America, but I want to just tell you some facts from America's history that might help you to understand why America has been so unusual and exceptional in the history of nations. America was born in conflict with a government and a king that was oppressing them, good old King George. And America was born under the burden of becoming free from oppression. America was born by people who believed that we derive our rights not from man, but we derive our rights from God the Creator. Somebody say amen. That God did not create us to be enslaved. God created us to be free, especially when we know Jesus Christ, who is the one who truly makes us free. But right now, America is in trouble. You could point to many symptoms. There's a whole list. I don't want to depress you, okay, by listing all the things that are going on that are wrong. But I want to point out something that I hope you'll catch with me this morning. This is the heart of the matter. The real danger in this country right now is the battle that's going on for the heart and soul and the mind of every single man and woman and boy and girl. There's a battle that's going on, and it's a spiritual battle. It's going on for the future of our country, but it's also a battle going on for how we feel about our country, how we feel about other people. It's a battle over sin. It's a battle over selfishness. It's a battle over hatred. It's a battle over all the things that Jesus died on the cross to set us free from. We are in a battle right now between light and darkness. We're in a battle between sin and righteousness. We are in a battle right now for between giving up and putting our hope in God. Hallelujah. And I choose today to believe God. I choose today that God is not finished with the United States of America. Somebody say amen. And I don't believe God is finished with me. Because a great nation consists of people who are great in God's eyes. And if you want to be great in God's eyes, it's different than being great in the world. You can be great in the world if you have a great talent. You can be great in the world if you got good looks. You could be great in the world if you're successful in business, if you're wealthy, if you're powerful, if you got a good physique. But God doesn't look at greatness that way. Hallelujah. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at man's heart. Hallelujah. And God wants to find a heart, a person whose mind and whose heart is in tune with him, in harmony with him. And he wants to bless that person and make them a success in all the ways that really, in all the ways that success really matters. So today I'm going to cry out to you And I'm going to declare a message with all my heart today, and I probably will continue next week, to pray for America. America is at a crossroads. America is hanging in the balance. And this is serious. What we do over the next few months may determine whether our country gets worse or whether it gets better. And I'm not just talking about politics here. I'm talking about how much we pray. I'm talking about whether we decide to get a hold of the horns of the altar. I'm talking about whether we decide to stand in the gap. God said, I was looking for a man or woman who will stand in the gap so I don't have to destroy the land, he told Prophet Ezekiel. This nation has been celebrated for its freedom, its many good deeds, its generosity. It's an unusual country because it came out of a situation that was against all odds, sort of like Israel coming out of Egypt against all odds. Pharaoh's army wanted to destroy the Israelis, but God opened the Red Sea. The great British Empire was the greatest empire in the world at that time. And here, General Washington, with a small group of volunteer soldiers against the formal armies and all the ships and all of the armada of England, somehow gained the victory. You can't tell me that that happened by coincidence. Somebody say amen. The people in our country were praying. A lot of people came here for religious freedom. They didn't just come here to make money. Somebody say amen. We know that America is a land of opportunity, and thank God for that. But I want you to know, my grandfather was arrested for preaching the gospel in Italy, in Europe, in the 1930s and 40s. He was arrested several times and thrown in jail because he was preaching the gospel against the Roman church. And when he came to this country, he couldn't believe the freedom that we had. My father was an immigrant, and I asked him, Dad, what is it so special about America? Without even hesitating, he would raise his hand and imitate the Statue of Liberty, like this. And he would say, Liberta, Liberta, Liberty, freedom. I was talking to a gentleman from Romania who lived under the dictatorship of Ceausescu, the Romanian dictator who killed so many of his own people. And I said to him, what is it about America? Without hesitation, he said, freedom, freedom. And we still have people coming here for asylum. Somebody say amen. People from Venezuela and people from Cuba and people from other places in the world, they want to come to America because this is still a land of freedom. I don't know what it's going to be like in our grandchildren's time, but I do believe that America is hanging in a balance, and what we do now will determine the trajectory of this country going forward. Persecuted, oppressed, poor, all seeking freedom. And as I said, many of them religious freedom. The inscription on the Statue of Liberty says it so well. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send the homeless and the tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Hallelujah. That Statue of Liberty has been such a symbol of relief and freedom and safety to so many. But right now, you need to pray for America because America's freedom is in the balance. Even our religious freedoms are slowly eroding in this country. If you don't believe it, read the newspapers. See what's going on in the courts. The courts have been consistently voting against people of faith. Even the Supreme Court. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. I hope you don't get mad. How many of you are going to still love Pastor Dave this afternoon? All right, three of you. Thank you so much. What about the rest of you? Thank you. Thank you. Listen, even as high up as the Supreme Court, recently a decision was made to limit the freedom and the conscience of people of faith. This is a serious problem. Our freedoms are under attack. There are many ominous signs in America. And it's not just Russia. It's not China. It's what's happening internally. Come on. The hearts of people have strayed from God's word. We have forsaken God's moral truth, his righteousness. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and whose righteousness? His righteousness, not our own righteousness. Pray for America. America has a heart problem, a sin problem. I was watching a video on the internet. A police officer was talking to a woman who was screaming at him on the street because there's just such hatred for police officers right now. And some of it deserved. Somebody say amen. But this police officer happened to be a Christian, and he was an African American. And the woman was a white woman who was screaming at him, which is kind of ironic if you think about it. And he's saying to the woman, ma'am, calm down. We have a sin problem. He was preaching at the lady, saying, the problem is sin. It's actual video. You can see it on the internet. He's saying, we have a sin problem. He's telling this white lady, we have a sin problem. I remember Brother Lonray and I having a conversation about a month ago when this incident with George Floyd first happened. And I sat on the phone. I didn't sit with him, but I talked on the phone. And he said to me, Pastor, no matter how many laws we pass, the hearts of men have to be changed. People, is that correct, Lonray? People's hearts have to change. The only way, and we're praying for good laws. We are. On Wednesday night, if you've been following us, we're praying for reforms in the police department. We're praying that stricter laws about police brutality, God would root these evil persons out in Jesus' name. Okay? But you could pass all the laws, but it's the heart of men that is sick. The heart of men is sick and desperately wicked. Jesus said, from the heart, Matthew 15:19, from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are the words of Jesus. I didn't make this up. Somebody say amen. This is what Jesus said. From the heart comes evil thoughts, murder and adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander, and on and on and on. Sin is in the heart, and the heart has to be changed. But thank God for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin. Abraham Lincoln, our 16th president, was asked a question about the possibility of America being destroyed. And here's what he said. On January 27th, 1838, speaking before a group of young men in Springfield, Illinois, he said about the destiny of America, at what point shall we expect the approach of danger? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step across the ocean and crush us at a single blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined could not by force take a drink from the Ohio River or make tracks on the Blue Ridge Mountains. So, at what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reaches us, it will spring up among us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction is our lot, we ourselves will be its author and finisher. What an ominous warning to America. America collapsing from within. Jeremiah said the heart is most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. In Galatians, Paul the Apostle said, if a system of laws could have imparted life, then righteousness would have come through the law. I want to say that's a very profound statement. If there could be laws passed that would make us good, then by now some law would have been passed that would make us all righteous. But he goes on to say, the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. The only way we receive freedom is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. What kind of country will our children and grandchildren find that America has become? America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. What is it about America in the past that has sustained us? It has been the grace of God. It has been praying people. It has been godly people. It has been said that America is great because America is good. If America fails to be good, it will fail to be great. God warned the Israelis in Deuteronomy, Moses, in his declining years, 120 years old, he was giving his people a history of the Israeli nation. And he said to them, when you enter the land that you were promised and you possess the land and you receive homes that you did not build and grape arbors that you did not plant and the fruit of the land is yours and you bless and you prosper, beware that you do not forget God. Beware, Israel, that you do not forget God. And how many times do we see in the Old Testament that Israel went through the cycle of rising up as a nation and then because of sin, because of backsliding, because of idolatry, because of forgetting God, they would be crushed by their enemies. And then a prophet would come along and declare to them the truth that you have forsaken God, you have served the Baals, you have followed the idols. And they would repent before God and their hearts were broken. And then God would bless them again and raise up a righteous king. And this went on in cycles over and over and over in Israel. And this happens in America too. Somebody say amen. Amen. We need righteous people to pass righteous laws. We need a praying people to see the will of God for our country. People who have discerning hearts. People who know the word of God. People who believe in the truth of God, not situational ethics. Come on now. What has been taught in school for years, that truth is relative. You can make up your own truth. How weird is that? Somebody say amen. If I had three people standing here and they all looked alike to you, and one of them was a world-renowned surgeon and you needed heart surgery, the other two, you couldn't tell the difference behind how they look. The other guy was a carpenter and the other person was a janitor. Who would you want to operate on you, the janitor or the heart surgeon? And what if I said to you, well, truth doesn't matter. They're all the same. It doesn't matter. How many of you know truth matters? When you're on an airplane, truth matters. You want to know that this airplane pilot knows how to fly a plane. The founders of our country were not perfect people. But they were people who respected the truth, people who read the Bible and trusted in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you some actual examples. George Washington, and I quote one of his letters, "It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible." That's a direct quote from George Washington, the founder of our country. John Adams, the signer of the Declaration of Independence and the second president. "It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue, pure virtue." He goes on to say, "The Constitution and this country is framed for people who trust in absolute truth and the virtues of the Bible." John Witherspoon was also a signer of the Declaration. "I entreat you to believe in Jesus Christ, for there is no salvation found in any other." These were the men, many of them Bible-believing, born-again, Spirit-filled Christians. None of them perfect. Somebody say amen. Some of them were deists. Some of them didn't believe the way we believe. But there was enough confidence in the Word of God. One time when the Constitutional Convention had stalled because of disputes, arguing, politics. Whenever you get a committee together, how many of you know it's very dangerous to put a committee together if you don't have people of goodwill? When you have a committee of people whose hearts are soft and tender towards God and goodwill, that's great. We can get a lot of things done. But when you have people that are partisan and politically minded, man, it was a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Franklin. Anybody ever hear Benjamin Franklin? So they were going on for days arguing about how these 13 colonies could become one nation. And it kept on stalling and stalling and breaking down into arguments and partisan issues and politics. And finally, one morning, Benjamin Franklin stood up and he spoke to the chairman of the Constitutional Convention. He said, "Sir, I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God's notice, is it possible that an empire can rise up without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred scriptures that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it." And then Benjamin Franklin went on, and I'll summarize this. He went on to explain and to ask for the chaplains and those who were clergy to come and start the convention meetings off with prayer every morning. And this is what they decided to do. They decided to start off and get down on their knees and pray. And the deadlock was broken. The Constitution was written, and we are the recipients of the blessings of heaven. Somebody give God some praise in the house. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The founders of our country believed in a creator, God. And next week we'll continue on this subject, but a very, very important difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution, those of you who study history, was in the opening statements. In the Declaration of Independence, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by who? By who? By God, their creator, with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The French Revolution, on the other hand, started off like this. It declared the rights of man, saying that man deserves life, liberty, equality, based on his own humanity and based on the idea of reason. Reason became elevated as the god of the French Revolution, following the philosophy of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. The difference of the two revolutions can be stated that reason was the foundation of one and the natural man, but in the American Revolution, the creator was the one that they depended on and acknowledged as the source of every blessing. President John F. Kennedy observed this difference in his inaugural address in January 20th of 1961. He said these words, "The same revolutionary beliefs for which our forefathers fought are still at issue around the globe. And the belief that the rights of man, as America believes, come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God." If you believe the government is going to give you all your rights, the government can take away all your rights. Is anybody excited about this morning or getting this? If you believe that our independence from Great Britain doesn't mean that we are independent from God. The difference between the French Revolution and the American Revolution was that we declared independence from an oppressive king, but at the same time we declared dependence on the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Give God a hand of praise, somebody in this house. Pastor Dave, that's good preaching right there. I've got to encourage myself in the Lord. The French Revolution devolved into a reign of terror. Read about it in history. A gentleman by the name of Maximilien Robespierre became, the irony of this is, it cannot be overstated, became the head of the safety committee. Robespierre, the head of the committee for safety, ended up starting to have mob rule in the cities. and executing his enemies. And they set up a guillotine in the squares, guillotines. You know what those are? Not a very happy. How many of you know being guillotined could ruin your whole day? Definitely could ruin, it could give you a bad headache. This guy was crazy. He was a bad dude. Head of the Committee of Public Safety, he encouraged executions. First the king and the queen, Marie Antoinette, King Louis XVI. Then more than 17,000 so-called enemies of the revolution. See, the difference when you have a standard like the Bible and you have confidence in God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is, when man is left to his own devices, the heart of man is desperately wicked and capable of the worst things. Somebody say amen. That's why you don't want to have mob rule in the United States. Come on now. Under this system of Robespierre, 40,000 people were killed. 300,000 Frenchmen and women were arrested and thrown in prisons. 3,000 priests were banished. 30,000 priests, because the French Revolution saw the church as the enemy of the state. And many priests were executed as man was left to his own devices. When we declared our independence from Britain's oppressive king, we at the same time declared our dependence on God Almighty, the God of the Bible, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me at this time? Hallelujah. We need to come back to the Bible. We need to come back to prayer. I want to give you this promise this morning. Please stay with me for a second. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, God said, if my people, there's still time for America. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's still time for America. There is hope for America. Here's the hope. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Lift your hand with me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, everybody say turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Hallelujah. There's hope for America. Church, we need to be praying. This is not time to be a spectator. I don't know where you are in this country right now. Some of you are watching in different places. I have a word from the Lord for you. Get out of the stands. This is not a time to be a spectator. This is a time to be active. This is a time to be praying. This is to be a time to do good deeds to our neighbor, to speak out against injustice. Hallelujah. To pray against racism and all the other sins. How many of you know that racism is not the only sin in America? We have adultery. We have pornography. We have radical homosexuality. We have the courts that have lost their minds. We have religious persecution. We have a lot of sins in America. But if we repent, we'll come back to the place of equal justice under the law of God. Hallelujah. Equal justice under the law of God. Hallelujah. What are we playing, Angel?
Lord, you have told me.
Lord, you have told me. Do we have the words?
Lord, you have promised
that if
your people would pray,
you would hear from heaven. You will hear from heaven.
You will hear from heaven. You would hear their mercy. Heal us with your strong healing hand.
I'm calling out to you, Lord. So I'm calling out to you. Crying out to you.
Forgive us of our sins.
Heal our land.
So we're calling only face.
Turn from all our wicked ways.
Hear from heaven even now as we pray.
Lord, you have promised.
Lord, you have called us.
Lord, you have promised
that if your people would pray,
you would hear from heaven.
You would hear from heaven.
You would touch us with your strong healing hand. So we're calling out to you, crying out to you. Forgive us of our sins, heal our land.
As we seek your holy face,
as we seek your holy face,
turn
from all our wicked ways.
Hear from heaven even now
as we pray. Hear from heaven even now.
Hear from heaven even now.
Hear from heaven even now.
Hear from heaven.
Hear from heaven even now. As we pray.
I'm going to ask Brother Joel to come up and Brother Lanre come up, if you would, for a second. This was not planned, but I want to ask these two brothers to grab a microphone. And, you know, this is an international church. Those of you who are watching at home, some of you from other places don't realize, we are so blessed at Catalyst, somebody say amen, that we are a diverse, multiracial, multinational church. And in the 30 years of its existence, and some of you have been here over 20, Brother Angel, maybe 22, right? Something like that? 25. He's the old guy. Not that old. He doesn't look that old. How many years? 20? Okay. And I want you to say an amen. Has there ever been a racial incident in this church? No, no. We have people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And this is what it's supposed to look like. Hallelujah. One nation, hallelujah, under God. One blood, the blood of Jesus. One race, the human race. I want these brothers to come just offer a short prayer for America. If you would, each of you, come up and stand before the camera. Well, offer a short prayer, if you would, for our country.
Let us pray. Father, we worship you today. We thank you that we can cry out to you and call you Abba Father. We thank you, mighty Redeemer, that our faith and our hope and our confidence is in you, our Creator and our Sustainer. Father God, we thank you because your word lets us know that you created everything for your good pleasure. Nothing is accidental with you. And it pleased you to form and create the United States of America. Father God, the foundation was premised, Father God, in you. Father God, where this nation has departed, I ask for your forgiveness in agreement with this body of believers here at Catalyst in the name of Jesus. And I pray that, Father God, you cause there to be a stirring by your own revival that will cleanse this land of everything that is contrary to your will. I pray, mighty Redeemer, that you begin to talk to hearts and provoke spirits, O God, unto repentance in the name of Jesus. I pray that you speak to people in dreams. I pray that you talk to people, Father God, as only you can. That, Father God, hearts be changed and transformed, as your word says, by the renewing of their minds, O God. Father God, I pray that you cause there to be your cleansing in the name of Jesus. Your word lets us know that you are a jealous God. So, Father God, I pray that you be jealous over the United States of America. I pray that you have your sovereign way and will in America, O God. That every selfish ambition and plan of man will not prevail over your perfect will in the name of Jesus. We pray that your love, your agape love, your mercy, your peace will reign, your justice will reign in the name of Jesus. Father God, without apology, we pray by faith this morning in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we pray, Father God, that you rise up and fight for America. I pray that you rise up and fight for America. I pray that you rise up and fight for America. And as Pastor David prayed, let us not be spectators, O God. Let us indeed not only be hearers, but doers of your word. Father God, use each and every one of us, even as our name says, as catalysts, O God, to effect the change that needs to be changed, O God. Father, we bless you and we praise you. Father God, we thank you because your word lets us know that nothing is too impossible for you to do. So we thank you for the transformation that will occur in America. We thank you, Father God, that Jesus Christ will be the center, Father God, even as we cry out to you. We bless you and we praise you. We pray by faith in agreement in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we come before you humbly today, giving you thanks, Lord, that you have allowed us, Lord, to be part of this great nation. Lord, things are difficult right now, and we recognize that we have failed in many ways. But as we look upon the earth, Lord, in other countries and other places where they cannot enjoy what we have been able to enjoy, we pray for deliverance for them. We pray for revival to come to them. We pray for change to come to them, as we also pray that change comes to this nation. Lord, help us to see things through your eyes, that we not concentrate on the problem, but concentrate on solutions. Help us to come together, Lord, in love and unity, to be able to fight against the forces of darkness that want to turn this country into another statistic, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, from top to bottom, from those who govern, Lord, to those who are governed, from the unbelievers to your church. Let there be a wind of revival come upon this nation, transforming hearts and minds in the name of Jesus. Change politicians, change government, Lord, change churches, change communities. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come against oppression, spiritual oppression, racial oppression, physical oppression, mental oppression. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Lord, we pray deliverance, and we pray that the love that surpasses all understanding, Lord, help us to love one another. Lord, as I read yesterday, it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. It's not about race, it's about grace. When we see through your eyes, we do not look upon the appearance. We look through eyes of love. Lord, I pray that Catalyst would become a model for other congregations. We pray that this church be a model for churches in other countries, churches in other cities, in other states, and above all, a model for the world. That we do not have to concentrate on what divides us, but we can concentrate on what unites us, Lord. That we were created in the image of a loving and holy God.
Amen.
And that we can love one another as he has loved us.
Yes.
And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I hope you can feel at home what's going on. The Spirit is praying. The Spirit is interceding through us to the Father. And I just do thank God for Catalyst, not to blow our own trumpet. But do you know there's places women can't be in ministry or leadership? Do you know that there's places where there can't be all generations working together? I thank God for Elizabeth. I thank God for women and men who are in their senior years who are being used by God. I thank God for young people who have an anointing on them and will make a difference in this world. I thank God from all people from all races and all kinds of nations that come together. That is truly what the body of Christ should be like. And may the Lord keep a hedge about us. May the Lord keep us in unity and peace. And Lord, we just thank you. We have felt your presence today, Lord. We have felt an urgency of the Spirit to pray for America. So I join with what has already been said and prayed. And we pray for miraculous intervention. When Peter was in prison, the church prayed. And you shook that prison, God. Lord, we're praying because America has some bondages. America has some strongholds. America has many things coming against it. But we are standing in the gap, and we're people who believe that you will answer from heaven as we prayed, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I pray for healing throughout this listenership today, God, that you would heal hurts that have happened in the name of prejudice and different things that have happened, Lord, that you would bring healing, God. It is not right, but Lord, you want to bring healing so people can be used whole for your honor and glory, God. Heal us, Lord, and use us, for time is short. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Everybody said, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Have a beautiful day. Amen.